Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Eruvei Chatzera as part 1. This is Siman Sadi Dalad, the 94th chapter in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and we're going to learn two concepts today, the types of courtyards that need Eruvin and how to make an Eruv. Let's jump straight in. A little bit of background, first of all. What we're talking about over here as an Eruv is not the Eruv that most people refer to. Colloquially today, when people think of the Eruv, they refer to those poles and those strings they think about that around the neighborhood. That is not what we're talking about. That is actually called Tzuras HaPesach. That is essentially creating gateways around the community to circumscribe the community. What we're talking about today is what's called an Eruv in the sense that it mixes different courtyards together. Let's do a little bit of background. Now, halacha from the Torah of Hoitzah, on Shabbos, one of the 39 halachas is one is not allowed to carry on Shabbos. That involves two ways of doing this. Either carrying four cubits in the public domain, or carrying from a private domain to the public or semi-public domain, or vice versa. That is called Hoitzah. However, what about from private to private domain, or private area to common area? That is not prohibited from the Torah. However, from the times of Shlomo HaMelech, this goes back 3,000 years. We're talking about from the times of Shlomo HaMelech, a decree was enacted not to carry on communal co-shared areas, common areas, even when they're fully enclosed, unless there is an Eruv. The Eruv is not the fence. The Eruv is the meal which joins everybody together, demonstrating that this common area is designated for the use of everybody for dwelling. That will thereby allow them to use that common area and walk between them and carry from house to house and house to courtyard and courtyard to house. Let's jump straight in. So what was the setup from that needed an Eruv from the times of the Mishnah? So the typical case is you have a number of houses which open up onto a shared courtyard, right? That would be the case. And so we have the Batim and the Chatzer, the houses and the courtyard, which is the common area. Today, what are common places that need an Eruv? So the most common places, apartment buildings, the hallways. The hallways are circumscribed. There is a wall around them. They're not open to the public domain. But unless there's an Eruv between the Jews in that building, one cannot carry in the hallways of that building. Unless, of course, there's an Eruv in the entire neighborhood. But if there's no Eruv in the entire neighborhood, then the carrying the hallways may not be done. Similarly, a fenced-in bungalow colony. So there's a fence around the entire bungalow colony. Even though there's a fence around it, the areas outside the houses may not be used unless an Eruv is set up, unless there's a shared meal designating that shared, that common area to be used. If there's no Eruv, which areas are prohibited to carry in? So let's say there's no Eruv. So one cannot carry from the houses to the common area, the common area to the house, or even from the house to the house. What are rules when two courtyards have a door or a window between them? So each courtyard can make a separate Eruv for its common area, but that will not allow carrying vessels from one courtyard to the other, because there needs to be an Eruv between them. They can make a joint Eruv, and in such, the vessels may be transferred from one to the other. How big an opening does there need to be to make a joint Eruv between them? So if there's even a window between the two of them, which is four handbreadths by four handbreadths, right? So a very small area, and it's within 10 tefachim, within 36 inches of the ground, they may make a joint Eruv. However, the window is higher or smaller, they may not make a joint Eruv that does not join them sufficiently. What if I have two houses in one courtyard and there's no Eruv, but I want to make an Eruv between two houses? So in this case, there's no Eruv being made outside in the common area, but let's have an internal door that joins two apartments or two hotel rooms for that matter. Can I carry between the two of them? Unless I make an Eruv, I may not. And if the adjoining aperture is a window, even if it's higher than 10 tefachim, then it still is enough to make that joint Eruv between them, and you could pass things from one to the other. What are the halachas of two courtyards, one behind the other, where the inner courtyard can only exit through the outer courtyard? So if both groups made a joint Eruv between the two, they can obviously carry in both. If they did not make a joint Eruv, but each made their own Eruv, then they may carry each in their own, but they may not carry to the other one. If only the inner courtyard made an Eruv, they may carry in their own courtyard. The outer may obviously not carry in there because they didn't make an out a Eruv. If only the outer one made an Eruv, but not the inner one, that Eruv in the outer courtyard is not valid because the inner people have the right of access to walk through the outer courtyard and they did not contribute to the Eruv. So they have rights to the courtyard, but they did not contribute to the Eruv. Therefore, they will invalidate that Eruv. What is the halachic status of the second story with a balcony? And then from the balcony are stairways down to the courtyard to get out. So that's considered like two courtyards. The balcony is considered the inner courtyard, and it can only be accessed by going through the lower courtyard, and therefore it's like an inside one, and we have the same halachas that we just discussed. What are the rules for a house with two apartments and a shared lobby? So if they're occupied by separate tenants, they're then carrying between the two apartments, and the lobby is forbidden without an Eruv. What happens if you have an apartment and in each room is a different Jewish person who is renting? So it's sublet. In this case, each room is considered its own place and you cannot carry from room to room unless there's an Eruv made between them as well. Now, let's go into how to make an Eruv. How is an Eruv Chatzeros properly made? So one of the tenants representing everybody else takes a whole loaf of bread to be the Eruv for Shabbos. And on a Friday, he would say, he gives it to another person to acquire, and he says, take this loaf of bread and acquire it on behalf of all the Jews living in this courtyard. That person lifts it up one tefach, lifts it up one hand's breadth. So therefore, by acquiring it, they're acquiring it on behalf of every other Jew in the courtyard. Then they make a bracha, the one who makes the Eruv says a bracha, which is Baruch Atah Shem Lekenem Melech Olam, blessed be Hashem, the Master, Yino Shek, Shonim, Mitzvah, Tzivanu, you command us in your commandments, Al Mitzvahs Eruv, on making the Eruv. Then the person says, and the person should say in a language they understand, by the means of this Eruv, it will be permissible for us to partake in and bring to take out and bring in. And this now is designated, this loaf of bread as being a shared meal between all the people in the courtyard, thereby allowing everybody to use this shared area. This unifies the residents and permits carrying. Who may acquire the Eruv on behalf of the others? So a person should ideally not do it to one's children who are minor children, or even just children unrelated to oneself. Also, if anybody is supported by oneself, so it's a member of one's family living in one's household, one should not have that as the other person designated the Eruv. It should be really ideally somebody on the outside, so it's a real kinyan from one person to another in a real sense. A married child who does not live with one is allowed to be the recipient of the Eruv on behalf of the other people. How much bread is required for the Eruv? So minimally, if there's less than 18 people, a dried fig size is sufficient. But if for more than 18 people, it needs to be really 6 eggs, or some people even say 8 eggs worth of volume of bread. So we're not talking about a huge amount, but it needs to be enough to cover everybody. What if the one making the Eruv resents if somebody else eats it? So let's say, I am making the Eruv for everybody, but there's one neighbor who really bothers me. They play their music way too loud. I don't like them coming into my house, and I don't want them to have anything to do with this Eruv. In that case, the Eruv is invalid because that person has been excluded, and it will not work as well. Where must the Eruv be placed? So it's usually placed in the house of one of the tenants, but it should be in a place accessible to all the tenants by the time that the twilight enters on the Eruv Shabbos. What if somebody cannot access the Eruv? For example, let's say a Kohen is one of the tenants and there is a corpse found in the building or the apartment where the Eruv is this Shabbos, then the Eruv is invalid. How often must an Eruv be made? This is surprising. Most people don't know this. Ideally, an Eruv should be made every Erev Shabbos. On Shabbos, the Moitzish could be set on it and it should be eaten because it's made the Eruv to join all the families together. However, if one is concerned, one will forget to do every Erev Shabbos, one may do it for all the Shabbosim until Pesach by saying, for all the Shabbosim until Pesach, which will come upon us in goodness, and Ba'alin al-Tovah, and that will be sufficient. That's generally the practice because we're concerned that we may not remember to do it, and so it's usually done from Erev Pesach to Erev Pesach. In that case, the bread must obviously be well-baked to prevent spoilage. People usually use matzahs because if it's a regular loaf of bread, it's going to be moldy within a few weeks. And for Shabbos during Pesach, a separate matzah Eruv is needed, obviously, because of the new Pesach. Finally, may one make an Eruv on Yom Tov that falls on an Erev Shabbos? The answer is no. One should ideally do it before Yom Tov, which would be the Thursday or the Wednesday, depending on the length of that Yom Tov. With this, we conclude the first section of Eruv HaChatzeros. We'll deal with the next section, Bezra Hashem, tomorrow. Have a wonderful and meaningful